Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
It's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. KCOU's only, Mizzou Sports only. Hit him one more time. Mizzou's only, KCOU's only, Mizzou Sports talk show here. Kicking it off for year number 10. / season 19. But of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with producer James Stanley behind the boards, making it happen one more time.
Hello.
And then we got newcomer, sort of filling in my spot from last year, Zach Berman.
Hello.
Yeah, it's just like a bases loaded walk. Everybody moves up 90 feet. And Matthew Terry goes in to score, and now he's off.
He went home.
So I'm at third base, you're at second base, and Zach Berman just drew the walk, so he's at first.
And Matt Terry's getting the silent treatment in the bullpen.
Yeah,
in the dugout. The oh, my
he
gosh.
He just went home.
Yeah.
our boy went home.
Back up to the cheese state.
That's right, Wisconsin. That's where you were for a little bit.
That is correct. Southeast Wisconsin.
Ooh, yeah, Kenosha, right?
Y'all go play a game of bigs?
Game of bigs.
Man. Talk about the different variances of Midwestern accents.
Oh, man. I'll bet.
Everyone up there thought I was from Alabama. Good old Missouri twang.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the Missouri dialect sort of picks up a lot of stuff from, like, surrounding regions. And I suppose that also includes, like, the deep south, as it were.
Well, in Missouri as a whole, as a state, just has an identity crisis.
Yeah.
It does not know what it is. And you can thank the Civil War for part of that.
Yeah, a lot of that also has to do with, like, I don't know, like, geographically, on paper, it should be Midwestern, but everything else about it just says south, 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 south in big capital letters.
You know what it is? It's Missouri. That's what I tell everyone back
home. That is exactly
true.
For better or worse.
The New York Times or somebody did a poll, though, on Missouri, and they asked people, where do you think the state lies geographically? And there were six different answers. Six.
Man, it should not be that complicated to figure out which region you're in.
There's a certain population that thinks Missouri is part of the West.
Hmm.
There's a large majority. You know, it depends on where you ask it in the state. If you go anywhere below I-70, especially into the Ozarks, people think it's the South.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the Boot Heel.
Oh, yeah.
The Boot Heel was part of Arkansas at one point.
Uh-huh. Or you go to, like, I don't know, like Joplin or somewhere. You get sort of like the more Southern vibe.
Or even with people in Joplin, they think that they're more part of, like, the Western Plains.
Hmm, interesting.
I don't know. For me, you look at the map of the state of Missouri. If you're south of Jeff City, you're in the South. If you're north of Jeff City, if you're on 70, if you're in one of the big cities, you're Midwest.
Do you know what Mark Twain said about the state of Missouri?
I have no idea.
Well, you know, he's from Hannibal.
Yeah.
So he said that if you lived in the state, or if you're born in the state, you called it Missouri. If you don't live in the state, but you're, you know, from the surrounding area, you always refer to it as Missouri. However, if you are leaving the state and you never want to go back, you say, I just left Missouri.
Oh, boy. My stepdad, who's from Wisconsin, always referred to it as Missouri. So,
oh, man. University of Missouri. Ain't that a truth?
Yeah, no kidding. Especially given, well, I suppose, not all of the history of Mizzou sports is all Debbie Downers and sad faces, but there's been some pretty, you know, low
this
lights.
Program is snake, but this year could be terrible.
It could be terrible, but it could also be very interesting.
How does it stand with the NCAA?
Jury's still out, as far as I know. We probably won't get an answer for bowl bans until sometime in the middle of the season, I think.
But
sometime
I thought that somebody said mid. There's some sort of, like, they can plan or protest or something, and that would not apply to this season. But then it would apply to next season.
I'd rather it apply to next season when Kelly Bryant is not here than apply to this season.
I'm not going to break out the speculation cap. And
it's almost like trying to figure out, like, a team's magic number.
Yeah.
There's just way too many things that could happen with it.
So I suppose we can just, you know, play it by ear, week by week, see what happens.
Look, I'm not going to believe or think anything until Dave Matter says it. So
yeah, honestly, I feel like that's the notion we shall be taking right now, or if it doesn't come from, like, I don't know, Rock M Nation or something, then it's just moot. Anyways, moving on. We should probably introduce ourselves for new listeners. So I'm the host. I'm Chris Mitchell. I'm a senior here at Mizzou. Been a part of KCLU for the better part of 3-ish years. Kind of came to the game a little bit late. My freshman year, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. While I was here, I thought I wanted to dabble a little bit in engineering. I wanted to dabble a little bit in, like, I don't know, maybe history. But I finally landed on journalism because I sort of have a little bit of a bloodline relation to journalism there. Shout out to my mom. But outside of that, I also have a little bit of a connection with, like, my dad, who also worked at this radio station when he went here, believe it or not. So I figured I'd marry
Was that back when it was in the broom closet?
I think so, yeah. Something like that.
Do you know about that?
No, I don't.
You know that that's how KCLU started?
In a broom closet?
In a broom closet in Shurs Hall.
Why yeah, does that very not far surprise away from
me. It was supposed to be like a joke, right? It was a Halloween prank.
I'll have to verify that.
It had something to do with Halloween. They did like one, like I think they did the Orson Welles, you know, War of the Worlds broadcast.
That is actually phenomenal. That's like,
and then it's grown into this. And look, it's one of the last student media things standing.
Yeah.
It's the only program like this that I know in the country that's like to this extent.
Yeah, I figured I'd bring the best of both worlds together and try my hand at a little bit of radio broadcast and stuff like that. So that's why I'm here. And well, I'm also and then, a big sports fan.
But also with your brother. Your brother is up in Iowa City.
Yeah, but his is more like, I feel like newspaper and like news-based. It's a little bit more like sports news, sports and things of that nature. So that's why I'm here. I also have my own show that's like earlier in the day called Quarter Circle Backboard, which is more like general like sports, like college football, NFL, basketball, when there's news about basketball around time like this. Like video games and also, which is kind of like a, I guess a niche no one else at the station.
Quarter Circle Backboard.
That's right.
Check it out.
With probably the longest and most obnoxious promo KCLU's ever had.
Oh, no.
You might play it a little bit later. It's so good.
It's awesome. I think there have been a couple more obnoxious ones. What's the one this week in footy?
I totally forgot about that.
That's an oldie but goodie with Taylor Wilson.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Shout out to friend of the show, Taylor Wilson. Hit that bomb button. I shouldn't spring it on James like that.
Why is this still a thing? We make this, this was a Matthew Terry thing. Let's not make this a thing.
Okay, we will make it this a thing. So anyways, we that's need enough a, about me.
Yeah, this is going to be Salute Your Sports. What's the thing? Rebooted.
Yeah, the gritty.
Salute Your Sports 2.0.
This time we're serious.
Anyway. So this is the gritty Christopher Nolan version.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. How about you, Zach? The Bergmeister.
What's up? The Burmeister.
Y'all are just going to put me on the spot like that?
Yeah, just
yeah, why not?
About,
we need to know about you. How about we can start with your date of birth, your social security number, and then your grandmother's maiden name.
Right. Last 4 digits of your...
I know one of those three off the top of my head. I know I was born early in the morning in Princeton, New Jersey, which doesn't make sense.
What was the color of your first car?
Silver.
Can you identify in the box which of these are sidewalks?
Look, I'm not a robot, I swear.
That's right. Zach is not a bot.
Well, this whole radio station thingamajig, how I got in here. As a kid, I wanted to be nothing more than shortstop for the New York Yankees.
Don't we
all?
And
then I realized
how's that working out for you?
I realized I couldn't swing a bat, throw a football, or break a wooden board into taekwondo. And
I feel that.
My love of sports stayed there even though I couldn't play it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to end up in the booth.
Yeah, isn't that one of the best things about you can be so unathletic. I mean, the three of us aren't athletic world beaters by any means, but you can still be involved in the game with not having to be an athlete.
I agree. Like, my best sports in order are axe throwing, Gaga, if you all know what that is.
I'm afraid not. I'll have to Google it later.
Yeah, it's like this Israeli dodgeball thing that's like super popular at summer camps. It's actually really fun. And I don't know.
I'm gonna say bowling.
Fortnite.
It's esports.
I'm not good at Fortnite either.
Oh my god! Yeah, 12. I mean, 12-year-olds can win that. But
hey, man, raking some checks. Anything else you want to talk about? Like, where are you from? That kind of stuff.
I'm from the great state of New Jersey.
I'm walking here.
A fan of all things Giants, Yankees, Devils. Shout out to PK Subban. I love you. I don't know why you put your phone number in your Twitter bio.
Yeah, you need to tell everybody about this, what you're doing before the show.
All right. So I was just surfing my Twitter feed, and all of a sudden, PK Subban tweeted something. It was a workout video, and I go onto his account, and on his bio, it has his number. Text me, 1-647-696-7699.
Are you sure about that?
What?
And it's a Toronto area code. He's from Toronto. I texted him simply saying, PK, question mark? To which he responds, yup, I'm here. What's up? To which I respond back, this ain't actually real, is it? To which he responds with a video of him in a car saying, yo, Zach, this is real. What's up?
And yeah, toe to tip. It looked like PK.
No, this is Patrick.
I don't know if maybe he's got a clone. Maybe he's like a doppelganger or something. Who knows?
Well, he's.
Is it a deep fake? Who knows?
Look, I don't know. Really big nowadays. Anyway, I'm a big hockey guy, big Devils guy, big sports guy in general. And I'm excited to be on here. I got big shoes to fill. And.
Oh, we always have big shoes to fill. We just put in the shoe lifts.
Yeah. You know, I'm nervous, but I'm nervously excited.
Or we just wear two or three pairs of socks.
It's going to be a fun school year, and I can't wait to really get into this.
Well, this will be, Chris, you're a senior, right?
That's right.
So this will be your show next year.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, if it can survive Matthew Terry, it can survive anything.
Yeah, honestly. That's really my motto.
And we're totally kidding. Matthew Terry actually carried the show last year.
Oh, man, yeah.
But look at all the people that have hosted this show over the last decade.
Whew.
We've not been here for 10 years. This is the start of our 10th year, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible that this thing has not died.
It is absolutely incredible.
During this show, it has seen, the Cubs win the World Series? It has seen the Royals win a World Series?
Yeah.
Seen the Blues win a Stanley Cup?
How about that? Why are we not start with that off the top of the knob?
I'm not super big into hockey.
I know Berman is.
The Blues have been a punching bag for my entire life as a hockey fan. And to come back, I don't even care how crazy it was watching it. Didn't really hit me until I came back to campus and I saw people walking around with Blues championship memorabilia. And I'm just like,
yeah, that's
what
when
timeline is this?
It's some sort of timeline. I'll tell you that much.
We're missing now is a national championship and something, and the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl.
You mean Mizzou winning a national championship?
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't think it'll ever happen in football or basketball. I hate to say it.
The odds are very stacked.
Basketball, there's a better chance.
Year something happens. This university is snake bit in the athletic program. Jaden Cox
made it out alive.
Yeah,
that's how you know how. But with
the big two money sports, basketball and football, this university is snake bit. From flea kickers in 1997 to fifth down Colorado.
Yolanda Kumar.
Yeah.
Well, that's more the NCAA than anything else.
Who else would this happen to?
Mid-game shenanigans.
Well, not Kansas. Although Kansas apparently is in trouble with an FBI indictment right now. So that's just that because that news broke today.
Sports related, though.
No, it's not sports related. It's in one of their academic programs. It's one of the largest indictments I think the FBI has released, though. It's named a bunch of people.
Give them a death penalty.
And there's I think it was someone who worked at a Chinese university who was spying on the U.S. or something. They were working for the University of Kansas as well.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what secrets they're going to learn over there. Maybe how to flip hamburgers, because I think that's all they teach with their degrees. Or how to pour salt on fries.
How do you get involved with that?
He's from China and he came to the United States, I guess, and was hired part of the university.
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, could happen to anybody.
And the worst thing is,
for all
I'm
we
not
know,
even
Comrade Mitchell over here could be a could be a Soviet.
I won't even ever admit to thinking about the whole Mizzou being cursed thing because I grew up on the Jersey Shore. You know what public university with a major sports program is 20 minutes away from my house?
Trump University?
Rutgers.
Oh. Okay, yeah, Rutgers.
And I can go so far to say that Trump University has a better record in both football and men's and women's basketball than the Rutgers Scarlet Knights do.
They could probably racketeer a better team than Rutgers can.
Good Lord.
If we're keeping it
I have been to one Rutgers game in my life.
Oh, who'd they play?
It was that Michigan game.
Oh, I was
and
say,
if you know which
Kansas?
Game I'm talking about, it was the one where they lost 76-0 on their homecoming.
Woo! Buddy, it just don't get much lower than that.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think we're going to cut it to a quick break. When we come back, we got a little bit of some Mizzou sports content for you, finally. So without further ado or don't go anywhere. This is Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM. KCOU.FM. We'll be right back.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind.
Hi, I'm Jay Ashcroft, Missouri's Secretary of State. If you've been approached about an investment opportunity or think you're being pressured to invest, call our Investor Protection Hotline at 800-721-7996. Our Securities Division is here to help. Don't write the check before you check. Paid for by the Missouri Secretary of State, Securities Division, Investor Education and Protection Fund.
Make sure to start your week off right by listening to General Admission on KCOU 88.1 FM from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Monday morning.
I think he's wrong, though. It's a heartless
move. You're agreeing
and
disagreeing on the same topic.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing that it wasn't a smart move. I'm just not disagreeing with Anthony Davis's dad either.
Once again, that's General Admission from 8 to 9 a.m. on KCOU 88.1 FM for the latest updates from the MLB, NFL, NBA, and the NCAA.
Hi, I'm Jay Ashcroft, Missouri's Secretary of State. If you've been approached about an investment opportunity or think you're being pressured to invest, call our Investor Protection Hotline at 800-721-7996. Our Securities Division is here to help. Don't write the check before you check. Paid for by the Missouri Secretary of State, Securities Division, Investor Education and Protection Fund.
Tune in to High and Tight with me and my co-host Logan Perrone as we catch you up on the latest signings, trades, news, scores, and highlights from around America's pastime every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the 88.1 FM stream and our website, KCU.FM on the Blue Box.
KCOU would like to thank Cafe Berlin for their support. Check out Cafe Berlin's delicious and diverse brunch menu at CafeBerlinComo.com. Looking for a fun night out in Columbia? Check out Cafe Berlin's live music calendar on their website as well. Thank you, Cafe Berlin, for your continued support of KCOU Columbia 88.1 FM.
Baseball is what gets inside you. It's what lights you up. You can't deny that.
From college to MLB, join me, Taylor Renee,
and me, Emma Hayes,
as we discuss all things baseball on KCOU Sports' first and exclusively female talk show, A League of Their Own.
Tune in every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KCOU 88.1 FM Columbia or online at kcou.fm.
There's no crying in baseball!
KCOU would like to thank B&B Bagel for their support. Located at 124 East Nifong Boulevard, B&B Bagel offers affordable made-from-scratch bagels, sandwiches, pastries, and more. Need an event catered? Call B&B Bagel today and they will take care of you and your event. For more information, visit their website, bbbagel.com, or find them on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, B&B Bagel, for your support of KCOU Columbia 88.1 FM and KCOU Sports, the student voice of the Missouri Tigers.
Welcome back, everybody, to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. I'm Chris Mitchell here with James Stanley behind the boards and Zach Berman in the co-pilot seat. So to get this sort of segment started, we're going to talk a little bit about Mizzou baseball. Now, for those of you who don't know, Mizzou baseball had been pretty strong throughout through most of the season, but sort of ended the season on a flat note, getting swept by Florida, losing a series against Vanderbilt and finally losing against Ole Miss in the SEC tournament.
And that's where we kind of want to pick up with this, because by the time that Mizzou baseball wrapped up, had been snubbed from the NCAA tournament, we'd already left.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we got to pick up somewhere. But there were a couple guys that went on to the Northwoods League this summer.
That's right.
To compete. And there have been a couple three Missouri Tigers that have played around in summer collegiate wood bat ball leagues. But Northwoods League, one of the best in the country. And Cameron Swanger, one of them, he played for the Wisconsin Woodchucks. And our good friend of the show, Connor McCann.
That's right.
Was the voice of the Woodchucks this summer. He currently cannot come on the show today, too sadly. But we'll have a special guest here in just a moment. The broadcaster, or one of the two broadcasters, for the Kalamazoo Growlers, Bennett Wise. He'll join us here in just about 5 minutes to talk about Spencer Juergens, who really heated up toward the end of the season. Had a couple rough starts in his last two outings, but was even named Northwoods League Pitcher of the Night at one point. But talking back to Swanger, is a name that maybe you won't really recognize.
Yeah, not off the top of my head. I had to do a little bit of thinking, but I think I remember that name somewhere in the baseball depth chart.
He was a backup first baseman, did not play all that much for Mizzou this summer. Did have a lot of accolades coming in as a high schooler. 2018 perfect game, Central Region preseason All-American, all same in 2017 and 2016. Perfect game called him one of the top 15 prospects in Ohio at the class of 2018. Second among third basemen in the state. Hit only 185 this summer.
Ooh.
Toward the end of the year for the Woodchucks, he was the number four hitter. A little bit of a program that struggled, and the team I worked for also had its own issues as well. But 20 hits, 108 at bats, 32 games, 4 doubles, 1 triple, and 4 home runs. Not terrible with the slugging percentage aspect, but could have been a little bit better in terms of purely picking up hits.
Yeah, it leaves a little bit to be desired. Absolutely.
Looking at his numbers for this last spring, and actually don't really have those at the moment. Once again, did not get a lot of playing time. I believe he hit around 215 for Mizzou this spring. But again, he's just a freshman. He still has time to develop.
That's right.
And talk about some big shoes to fill. Well, with the way Missouri's been turning players over to the draft, well, it's going to be one that they need to fill.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now let's transition to Spencer Juergens, and we'll go ahead and welcome on Bennett Wise to the show. Bennett, are you there?
Yep, I am here.
Hey, Bennett, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, just relaxing in good old Oxford, Ohio.
Yeah, that's right. So you're over at Miami of Ohio, the Red Hawks. They've had a little bit of history playing the University of Missouri Tigers. I don't think you were there when they played. I know it was back in the Big 12 days.
I do not think I know.
But anyways, talking about Spencer Juergens, made his first start with you all in June and was pretty much there the entire season. What were you what were you seeing out of him this summer?
So I think at first, I'll go back to his first appearance. We were on the road. We were in Rockford for a day or two, and then I think we might have actually been coming up to play you guys up in Kenosha. And didn't know anything about him, just, you know, met him right before we got on the bus. Seemed like a nice kid, really quiet. And then we saw him really at first in Rockford. Again, we didn't really know much about him. Didn't have a terrible first appearance. It was in relief. We were getting smoked. They had scored 8 runs in 1 inning. So we thought, why not? Let's go throw out some new guys. And Juergens was one of them. Went 2 1/3, so it wasn't terrible. At first, his command of his fastball and his curveball were really kind of off. So it was really trying to find at first that right mix so that he could get comfortable on the mound and then transition to, you know, some of his other pitches. Because he's only a 3-pitch guy. He's got a fastball, a splitter, and a curveball. And his splitter is a very undervalued pitch because even guys who faced him in batting practice or just looking at it while he was doing a bullpen session or anything, his splitter, and that's kind of the thing with the splitter in general, is that it looks like a fastball when it's coming right at you and then drops straight down almost. And I think when he has that pitch to mix in a, you know, 2-strike or even in a, you know, 1-1, 2-1 count where you can go and get something reliable in the zone, he's going to throw that splitter. So that was, I think, the biggest thing for Juergens, because he was coming off an injury originally and then came in having to be comfortable back on the mound. And I think once he got that, it was about early July, he was one of our most reliable guys out of in our starting rotation. So I think that was the biggest thing, is once he finally got comfortable on the mound, he got comfortable in some starts, then he was really became a valuable weapon.
Well, and he threw back-to-back complete games, July 22nd and July 28th, one at Rockford, one against Battle Creek at home. And going into August, especially when you all needed that one win, you know, just to lock everything up, every time he was on the mound, August 3rd at Fond du Lac, then August 8th against Kokomo, I was thinking, well, those are locks for you guys, and kind of a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm. So I think over that stretch, he had his confidence at an all-time high against Rockford and Battle Creek, back-to-back complete games, unbelievable performances, both two earned runs, eight hits. But if you also look at those two games, he had the two most strikeouts he had in any of his games, with eight against Battle Creek and six against Rockford, because he looked more relaxed. I think at first, because he hadn't started in a while, and at that point we really needed somebody to step into our starting rotation because we lost two guys, Braden Nelson and Michael Paredes, and he raised his hand and volunteered to go into the starting role. So that not only showed a lot of maturity, but it also was fantastic that somebody wanted to, and that him especially, wants to get back into a starting role after being out for a little bit due to injury. And then also, and then he got that confidence. He was going on full force after those two complete games. Then you said those August 3-8 games versus Fond du Lac and Kokomo, he was really tired. So when you look at the summer, up to at that point, he had thrown 44 innings after not really playing at all over the past year and a half. So his body kind of, it didn't catch up to him. So once he finally hit about that 44 inning limit, that's when he really started to get tired. He said his shoulder was hurting towards the end, just from throwing so much. He was throwing bullpens, I felt like every other day or every 3 days. And so he wanted to get himself back into that playing shape of Division I baseball, and I think he's back at that. I think just towards the end of the summer, he just got a little tired and his arm wore out a little bit.
So the NCAA, Cody Pachocki is not an NCAA coach, but he does coach NCAA caliber talent. What did Pachocki, the field manager for Kalamazoo, what did he see in him with bringing him on? Because this, once again, this is a guy who did take a medical red shirt and only had one relief appearance in his NCAA Division I career. He started out as a transfer from Jefferson College.
Mm-hmm. With Pachocki, his biggest thing is, one of his biggest strong suits, I would say, is recruiting, because he can find gems like this, because he looks at somebody. Juergens has a fantastic frame for a pitcher at 6'4", 240. You know, a guy who could throw low 90s with a fastball. You can work with that. So I think that's what Pachocki saw, and then he also worked with our pitching coach, Zane Gonzalez, and they rehab guys, plenty of guys who are coming off an injury from KBCC or Kalamazoo Valley Community College, because they, you know, they hurt their arms in high school. They have to get back, and they can't directly go straight to Division One. So let's rehab them and then get them to a Division One program. And I think that's what they kind of saw with Juergens. And other than that, I think he was additionally just a great pickup for Pachocki because, you know, because of how old he is. I don't mean to use that in a demeaning way, but because he's been on a couple of different programs, he sees how different people operate. He's been around baseball. Having that around the clubhouse as kind of a senior leadership, even though you haven't, you know, you've only been there for a month, 2 months, I think that was the biggest thing for Pachocki.
I'm going to switch a little bit here to Caden Helsel, and that's, well, so like, I also appreciate you calling in. This is an all Mizzou-centered sports talk show, but in case there are some listeners from Callaway County, that's only about 15, 20 miles to our east. We might pick up some of them. Caden Helsel is a high school legend over there, was an all-star and pitched with you all this summer. Tell us a little bit about how his summer went with Kalamazoo.
He was off early and running. I would say there wasn't I felt mid-July is kind of where he had one little hiccup, and then he got it back together. But I have never seen somebody with such energy, and I guess you could, you know, make the joke about freshmen, and we kind of joked about it. Caden and I became really good friends. We always would play ping pong back and forth, and I think we have finished up even between the two of us in terms of total games. So I'm not really happy that we didn't settle that. But I think in general, Caden has a lot of talent. He had just, I mean, you said it, his athleticism from being I think he told me, a four-sport athlete in high school. He played two spring sports. I want to say he ran track and then also played baseball. I think that really helped. So he had the endurance all along. But when he has a fastball that, you know, not only a four-seam, but he has the two-seam with a lot of movement on it, a slider and a changeup. He has a really good arsenal. And, you know, he can throw, I think he topped out one time at 93, you know, and he's not necessarily the biggest guy, 6'1", 200. But I think in general for Caden, he has a lot to work with. If he somehow hears this, I still want him to know that I'm better at him than ping pong.
All right. Well, I mean, we do have some connections with him. Maybe we'll pass that on through the grapevine. Just looking at his numbers here, 4.82 ERA in two starts, 15 appearances. You take out his one appearance at Green Bay on July 10th, and his ERA might be, what, sub 2, sub 3?
Yeah.
Because look at the numbers here. He only allowed the most number of runs he allowed in a single game was 3 runs against Rockford on June 4th.
Mm-hmm. That was a real rough day, kind of a rough road trip for the Growlers. Green Bay. That was a six game road trip. Wasn't necessarily a lot of fun. We were jumping all over the place. I think we had stopped in maybe Rockford or Kokomo the weekend or a few days before. Then we go up. They're dog tired. The All-Star break is coming up. They just had the one series left. Then they could go, you know, take a few days off. But
welcome to the Northwoods League, am I right?
Yeah, very true. We've had our fair share of oddities up there, up north. But, for especially just that appearance, everybody got rocked. Green Bay just, I mean, they had back-to-back 15-plus inning or 15-plus run games, you know, against a team that had we were top 12 in the league, top half in terms of defense. And by that time, the guys were just so tired because July 4, 5, 6, we had back-to-back-to-back doubleheaders. And then you play a series against Rockford, and then you got to go, you go Kokomo, Rockford right after that, you know, and then you come to Green Bay and everybody was just tired. We needed to come home at that point. But other than that, Caden was phenomenal all summer. He was a great addition for Pachocki, one of the D2 guys who really worked his butt off. Originally, he was only a temp guy. He was only going to stay for about the first 10, 12 games until somebody else came in and he earned a full summer contract because he wanted it. He wanted to be there and he wanted to get better and play with Division I talent. He for sure earned it.
Caden might be one of the most mentally sound is not the right word, but like fortified person on the mound that I've ever encountered at the collegiate level, let alone, I mean, the D2 level. I'm talking about D1 and D2. Yeah. And I've gotten to watch him play now for a couple, 3 years. Absolutely incredible athlete, and I think if he picks up on his velo just a little bit more, there's a good chance he could get drafted, you know, if not late, you're even a signee after the draft is over.
Mm-hmm. He definitely has that sort of potential. He plays with a lot of passion. I think that's the better way
that was what I was looking for.
Yeah, he definitely plays with a lot of heart, gets really frustrated, and you know, despite some of these, you know, games where he goes 2 innings with, you know, 4 strikeouts, not bad, he still gets frustrated with himself. I think that's hilarious. I remember one game when we were up in Kenosha and he had just pitched. He was frustrated. He hadn't played in, you know, 5 or 6 games. And he's like, if I don't play today, you know, I'm going to be performance in 2 innings. And he goes, yeah, he made contact. And I go, Caden, you went 2 innings, didn't allow a hit or a run. Calm down. And, it's really funny because he has this way about him where he visualizes, and he says sometimes he'll have dreams. Well, he'll visualize himself in that bat. He'll be throwing pitches, and mentally, even if it doesn't feel right, he'll give up a hit in his dream or give up a home run, and because he just knows it, and he has that competitive spirit in him, and that's going to take him really a long way. It was really interesting to find out what makes Caden Hussel tick.
All right, Bennett, we're going to have to let you go because we're going to have to go to break here in just a moment, but we really appreciate you coming on the show to talk some Northwoods League baseball with us.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great time.
All right, Bennett, it was also great seeing you this summer, and hopefully we'll see you in the future.
Sounds good. See you
again. All right, thanks, Bennett. Yep. So that was Bennett Wise, and know you guys maybe got a little bit tired of hearing about Northwoods League baseball.
No, but, it was very interesting, actually.
It is interesting because it's not something you hear about in a normal day, for at least for me.
There's just so much media coverage up there, the guys, and it really helps. It not only helps the players get better, but, like, you know, all the interns in the front offices up there and everything. Just a fantastic experience, and greatly recommend, if you have the chance to do it, to go ahead and put it through. So finishing up on Mizzou baseball, just kind of looking into the spring, or into the fall, talk about this whole thing with the NCAA sanctions that could be coming against the program. Where does this program look?
Well, I think given how, of course, there's been a pretty serious turnover as far as, like, senior talent leaving. There's also the question of, I don't know, whether or not Cameron Meisner might stick around for a little bit longer, or if he might just go straight to... Where did he get drafted again?
Miami.
Or to their, like, minor league affiliates. And
which that makes me wonder, is that the same guy who scouted Meisner that found Yelich and Ozuna? That would not shock me. Unless Derek Jeter's completely gutted everything over
Stanton,
Miami.
Stanton, too. He found.
And Stanton. Three fantastic outfielders. And I'm just looking toward the future. If he could see that kind of potential in those three guys, what does that guy see in Meisner? I know it's kind of a big what if it's even the same person.
I mean, we've seen flashes in Meisner. I wouldn't say I'd put him at that level, but...
There's definitely potential there, I'd say. Either way, with or without Meisner, I think this team has a lot of work to do to sort of, like, build themselves back up to, like, the levels they were at last year and arguably a little the year before that. So even if the offseason ban does end up going through and the baseball team ends up getting screwed, I don't think it'll have too much of a bearing on whether or not they'll actually be good enough to make the big tournaments in the first place. That's just me. Of course, here on Salute Your Sports, we've been very wrong about a lot of things, so hopefully I'm wrong. I'd like to be wrong, because that'd be very entertaining to see a competitive Mizzou baseball team even without, like, having a lot of hard-hitting players like Cameron Meisner, potentially. But who knows? I guess we'll see. And I think with that, we're going to cut it to another break. And when we come back, we're going to play Or Nah for the first time this fall semester. Do not go anywhere. We are coming right back with some more Salute Your Sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
KCOU would like to remind you that Missouri Tiger football and basketball are brought to you by El Rancho. Catch every Mizzou football game and Mizzou men's basketball game on KCOU 88.1 FM and on KCOU.FM. While you are online, check out El Rancho's website at www.columbiamomexicanfood.com or visit them downtown at 1014 East Broadway. Thank you, El Rancho, for supporting KCOU Sports.
Mizzou Softball and Baseball on KCOU is brought to you by B&B Bagel. B&B Bagel offers some of the best breakfast in Columbia and is conveniently located a few minutes off campus at 124 East Nifong Boulevard. For their hours and more information, visit their website, bbbagel.com, or call them at 573-442-5857. For updates on their hours and specials, follow them on Facebook and Twitter as well. KCOU would like to thank B&B Bagel for their continued support of KCOU Sports and Student Radio.
Looking to up your style with the changing season? Need a quick costume rental or just want to give some dope old clothes a new life? Check out Mod Vintage downtown for the best trend vintage around. We'll also pay cash for your retro wares if they no longer spark joy. Just go on down to Mod V at 818 East Broadway, because life's too short to be basic.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Salute Your Sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. I'm Chris Mitchell, here with James Stanley behind the boards and Zach Berman in the co-pilot chair. And now it is time for everybody's favorite Salute Your Sports game show. That's right, folks. It's Or Nah season. James, take it away.
Well, so with the topic being of Kelly Bryant. This came up a couple, 3 weeks ago. Where is it? Swansby? Is that, or who's the
Dabo Swinney?
Swinney, man, too many names over there in South Carolina and Georgia sound alike. Where the decision was made that Kelly Bryant was not going to get a championship ring from when Clemson won the national championship.
Could you imagine if South Carolina won the title?
So Steve Spurrier.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'm talking about like this. I'm talking about like Wilma's champ era in South Carolina. Oh my God.
So let's go ahead and break into this week's Or Nah, a baptism by fire for the Burgmeister.
Right.
And this Or Nah, which is why, and earlier you were driving me crazy when I was trying to do research for this.
We kind of figured out the Or Nah a little bit.
Do you want to take a guess at what it is?
Mizzou players who won Super Bowl rings.
Not just Super Bowl rings.
Is it just championships and sports?
It is Missouri Tigers with a championship ring at either the collegiate or pro level. And when I say collegiate, it could be D2, NAIA, NCAA, NCAA Division III, NJCAA, NCCAA. It could be any of those.
Just football?
No, not football. Any sport.
Woo! That's a lot to cover.
So the first one was going to be Kelly Bryant, but that's pretty obvious. Then the second one was going to be Chase Daniel, but thanks to the Burgmeister digging through all of the Super Bowl names, I had to strike him from the list as well as Shane Ray.
I feel like Shane Ray would have been a layup.
Shane
anyways.
Ray would have been pretty.
That would have been the gimme for Berman. Yeah. I feel like.
All right, so let's go ahead and get this underway. Who would like to go first?
Let the newbie go first.
Newbie, fresh fish. All right, let's go with Andy Reid. Has Andy Reid ever won a championship or been a part of a championship team? Yes or nah?
Was Andy Reid involved with Mizzou?
He was involved with Mizzou back in the 90s. He was defensive line coach.
Where did he go between Mizzou?
Which is very ironic now.
Huh?
Where did he go between Mizzou and Philadelphia?
He was at Green Bay.
In the late 90s.
Late 90s.
When Brett Favre won a Super Bowl with them. Yes.
Man, this kid's too smart. Way too smart.
Well, if
ding,
you didn't
ding,
walk
ding.
Him through it.
Okay, well, we don't usually walk you through that much, but the fact you asked that many questions, that's more than what Matthew Terry would do. Sorry, Matthew Terry.
Very studious indeed.
There you go. Finally got the bell working. All right, so the Burgmeister leads 1-0. Let's go to Don't Call It a Comeback, Chris Mitchell.
What's up?
Henry Josie. Has Henry Josie ever won a championship ring of any kind?
I'm going to say yes. Oh, darn it.
Were you thinking Philadelphia Eagles, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's where he played there a couple years. Well, by the time that Doug Peterson took over the program, he was gone. He was already playing with the Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League. Right. And he was just on, I think he was on a team in the, is it the Alliance Football League? Is that the one that just folded?
AAF.
Yeah. AAF, yeah.
The Alliance of American Football.
So he was on a team there, and they folded. So no
Steve
longer
Spurrier, champion of the AAF.
Oh man!
What can't he do?
All right.
What
so
was the team name? It was Orlando. I was a fan of them. I already forget.
Already forgot.
I already
hate to see it.
Yeah. They're all right.
All right. Let's go to Aaron Crow.
Aaron Crow.
Ooh. Aaron Crow. How does you know who that is?
No, I don't.
All right, we're not going to tell you.
Okay.
Except that he was a Mizzou baseball player back in the late 2000s along with Max Scherzer. Don't think they played on these. They might have had 1 year of overlap.
I don't think Scherzer ever won a title. I don't know. Someone's saying yes. I don't know why I'm thinking no. Where did he go after college?
He was drafted by the Kansas City Royals, but he was let go by the time they won the World Series in 2015.
Okay.
So we'll take the lead 1-0 to the bottom half of inning number two. So, Chris, you're down by one. How about Kim Anderson?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, with the University of Central Missouri Mules.
That's right.
Was
I feel
that
like, yeah.
2014?
Something like that. I think it was, wasn't he coach of Mizzou or in 2014?
No, that was Hayes last year. He was named 2015.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Because I knew Kim Anderson won some sort of mid-major championship with somebody. I was just blanking on who.
All right, so tied 1-1 at the end of the top of the third
inning.
You see,
my mom's alma mater. Shout
really?
Mules. Yeah.
You know, it's one of the weirdest things I found on eBay, and I copped it up?
Of course she did. What was it?
What?
A championship ring from that UCM championship.
Are you
what
serious?
What made you think to go buy that?
It was only $40. Okay. I don't know why anyone
why
would
did
ever,
you even look that up to begin with?
Because it just popped up on like, so some of the colleges I work for around here, they don't have, you know, like the biggest stores.
Right.
So I look up for all my gear, you know, that's basically used, like polos and stuff. And anyways, MIAA, that's how it came up.
Interesting.
I hope it's real. It looks real.
But probably,
who would make a fake of that? That's what I want to know.
Good question.
So regardless, we're tied 1-1. Back to the Bergmeister. Let's go with Ian Kinsler. Has Ian Kinsler ever won a World Series? Or, well, it had to be a World Series title. Obviously, Mizzou's not won a baseball championship in a long time.
Oh, boy. I actually want to say yes to that. Yeah, he was with Boston.
Boston Red Sox in their last championship.
Ian Kinsler gave Yankee Stadium the finger on Memorial Day
Legend.
This year. I was in the stands, and where was he now? San Diego, yeah. It was when San Diego came to the stadium, and he gave the crowd the finger after he got called out in a bad strike.
That is legendary. All right, 2-1 back in the lead for Zach Berman. Chris Mitchell, has Jeremy Maclin ever won a Super Bowl title?
No. What?
Oh, nope, that is, we'll get it fixed. There we go.
I was going to say, he was definitely not with the Eagles when they won.
Yes, that is correct.
And to my knowledge, the Chiefs have never won a Super Bowl while I've been alive.
Ouch. Well, that goes for both of us here.
Yeah.
All right, tied 2-2. We'll go to the top of inning number 4. Let's go with Justin Smith.
Justin Smith? He's been to a Super Bowl. He's never won a Super Bowl.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Given the lead, 3-2. That is correct. He was with
San Francisco.
That's San Francisco back before. Well, San Francisco's not won a Super Bowl in a while, have they?
No, but he did.
He did play in it.
He did cause all hell for Eli Manning in that NFC Championship game. He and his fellow teammate that goes by the same last name that also went to the school.
Alden Smith, who is no longer in football. All right, let's go to Norm Stewart. Chris Mitchell. Has Norm Stewart ever won a national championship? Or a ring of any kind?
No.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. 1951 Mizzou baseball. Mizzou baseball's only national championship. He was the first baseman. I thought that was a layup for you. That's why I gave it to you. I knew Berman wasn't.
I didn't know he played first base.
No, I would not have known it. Now I'm going to brag that my school's won a national championship in baseball. Cool. Great.
I believe it is either 51 or 54, but my dad was born in 54. I think it's 51.
Well, shoot. The more you know.
Norm Stewart.
All right, 3-2. Berman, you're still on top. Let's go to Otis Smith.
No. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know who Otis Smith is?
Yeah, he's a football player. He's a running back, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, with the New England Patriots. He won a Super Bowl 36 with them.
36. Was that when? 04, 03?
It was back in the Brady era.
Yeah.
Brady, the Belichick heyday.
Okay.
Well, I guess that was also Brady, too. He's been
early 2000s.
So long. All right, so 3-2. Chris, chance to tie it up. Bottom half of inning number 5. Let's go with Sean Witherspoon. Has Sean Witherspoon ever won a ring of any kind?
Yeah. Darn it.
Atlanta Falcons have not won a Super Bowl.
Oh!
They almost did.
Oh, you're right.
And Witherspoon was on that team, wasn't he?
He was.
He would have had one.
Dang, you're
so
right.
So close, yet so far away.
Wow.
So still 3-2.
All they had to do was run the ball, and I'd be right. Just run the ball.
I still can't believe that happened. Like, it's been how many years? 3 years? I'm still, like, at a loss.
All right, so calculating the magic number here, there are 8 guesses left. So you have the lead, Chris, Zach. Chris Berman, I guess that's what I'm thinking of. Back.
Smash them together. Back.
So therefore, I believe if you get one more right, yeah, that is correct. If you get one more right and Chris gets one more wrong, then you will seal your very first immersion in or not. Let's ask about Jerome Salley.
I don't even know who that is.
You said you're a New York Giants fan.
Yeah, he didn't play when I was alive, did he?
Has Jerome Salley ever won a title, a ring of any kind?
When did he play at Mizzou? That's a better question.
Long time ago. It's 50-50. This is the way Ornan goes.
Didn't win.
Super Bowl 21 with the New York Giants.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why I asked if you were a Giants fan earlier, and you knew he was going to get these served up to you. All right, Chris, tied a chance to pull a comeback like the Kenosha Kingfish here. Let's go with Max Scherzer. Has Max Scherzer ever won a World Series ring?
No.
He's been there.
Tied 3-3. Don't call it a comeback, Chris Mitchell.
Really?
Scherzer's been to the World Series.
Yeah, he's been to the World Series, not won.
What do you play for?
Detroit.
That's from a different show that's now dead. We don't talk about that one.
They got swept.
Man, Berman is too young to know that show, Overtime Live.
Wow.
It's just the sports talk show that won't go away.
That's Overtime Live. It eventually did, but is it really gone? The answer is no. It lives on in our hearts. It's a curse we can't get rid of. It haunts us.
All right, Zach. Let's go with Dan Devine.
Dan Devine.
Has Dan Devine ever won a ring of any kind?
No. Oh, my gosh.
That's a big one. Come on. He left the University of Missouri, went to Notre Dame. Won them a championship in the 70s.
Pretty
all
big one.
All because the University of Missouri would not give him a $10,000 signing bonus.
Sounds like Mizzou.
Well, I feel like if you adjust it for inflation, that's like a lot more. $10,000
meant
a lot more.
In the 60s, though, that's maybe like $100,000.
I guess, but that's still a lot. But, yeah, also, come on, man.
And he almost won a national championship with Mizzou in 1960, but let's not talk about that. All right, Chris, chance for you to take the lead.
Getting heated. About 1960 championships here.
Ziggy Hood. Has Ziggy Hood ever won a Super Bowl title or a ring?
Yes.
Yes.
He is not. He was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they did not win it while he was there. I believe it was the year before. The year he got drafted.
Well, shoot.
All right, so tied 3-3. Down to the wire. I believe there's only four names left. Let's go with Tony Galbraith. Has Tony Galbraith ever won a Super Bowl ring?
Let's go yes.
That was with the New York Giants. Same Super Bowl. There were a couple Missouri 21? Guys on there. 21.
Who was that over? Denver?
I cannot tell you.
Yeah, it was Denver. That was...
All right, Chris, come on. This is step-up time. Kellen Winslow. Has Kellen Winslow ever won a Super Bowl title?
No.
Ding, ding. Still tied 4-4.
Oh, I thought he won with Tampa back in 2002. Did he not?
That is Kellen Winslow II.
Oh, my goodness.
That's his son. Did not go to Mizzou. We're talking about Kellen Winslow from the 1976 Liberty Bowl, or 78 Liberty Bowl. It was the one against Purdue. I believe it was 78.
That sounds right.
But, yeah, he was with the San Diego Chargers his entire career. Did not win a – he's in the Hall of Fame. Fantastic tight end, but, no, he's – not a Super Bowl wearing champion. All right, tied 4-4. Here's the final round. Let's go with Rich Lyle from the New England Patriots. Has he won a Super Bowl ring, yes or nah?
I feel like because you're saying Patriots, it's supposed to be yes. But I don't know why.
Don't overthink
say
it.
No.
Don't overthink it.
If he's on the list, come on, man.
I know, but at the same time, like, I feel like you're trying to play some sort of mind game with me. I overthought that.
All right. You said
don't overthink
Chris,
it.
Chris, you could walk it off here.
I could.
Otherwise, we're going to go to a question game, and I don't even have a...
That's so far
I don't even
off
have a tiebreaker right now.
We'd all be screwed.
Let's go with Jonathan Williams. Remember him? Transferred from the University of Missouri basketball. I'm not going to tell you where. He transferred while you've been here. You might have been a freshman.
Yeah, I might have been a freshman. Oh, I think I...
Has he won a national championship, yes or no?
I pulled something on my knee. No.
Oh, a walk-off.
Oh!
Grand salami.
Whoa!
Or is that just a little single up the middle?
Well, guess what? You make a joke about the Falcons, you choke immediately after. Things tend to work like that.
Thanks for playing, Zach Berman. How do you like it so far?
Well, I got a whole semester at least to get you back, so.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely get a chance for revenge.
All right, we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick. We're about to go overtime and not overtime live. Statements of the week? Are we going to air our grievances? It's your choice.
Statement of the week. Let's do that.
All right, statements of the week.
See, I figured Berman's statement was just going to be about keep that hockey player, PK Subban.
Subban,
I'm sorry. Sorry, PK. But I guess we'll start off. My statement of the week is I'm excited because this year has the potential to be extremely weird. And that's saying a lot by Mizzou sports standards. So I'm very excited to cover that with you guys and as part of KCOU Sports. So, yeah, I guess we'll just see where things go from here. It could get real funky, y'all. I'm 100% here for it.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I think Mizzou really, this has a shot to be either the biggest letdown in school history or one of the best teams in school history. But this season defines Barry Odom as a head coach. That's where I'm going to end this.
Wow, that's kind of a, well, actually, that's not just a bold prediction. That's actually, that's pretty spot on.
Yeah, it's pretty on the money.
Because either, I mean, like if let's say the sanctions come down, and his team can still go 12-0, or even 11-1. That shows a lot about him as a coach, being able to motivate those guys to keep on competing.
If I could throw in something else, this is something I learned while I was doing a little bit of research. If you check the trajectory of Barry Odom's first few years here at Mizzou, and then you check Gary Pinkel's trajectory, his first few years at Mizzou, they're pretty similar.
Well, here's one of the main differences, though. Gary Pinkel inherited a program that was in shambles. He couldn't even get he could not even get interviews with high school coaches in Kansas City.
Well, so did Barry Odom. Barry Odom came here after the protests. Mizzou, nobody wanted to come here.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point.
They were both in pretty awkward positions when they came in, and they both ended up being pretty fine. I don't know if that bodes that Barry Odom's just gonna keep trending up or keep trending like solid, but I'd be okay with solid. Anyways, as you were saying.
Well, my statement of the week is going to have to be just a shout-out to this whole summer. 72 games in 76 games. 72 games in 75 days. The Kenosha Kingfish, it changed me around, I think, that for the better.
Yeah.
And really fortunate that I had loving and supporting parents that helped me go up there.
Yeah, I can tell you doing the Kenosha stuff really has improved your game so far.
All right, Chris, it's time for you to take it away.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been the first edition of the fall 2019 semester's
10 years and counting.
10 years and counting version of Salute Your Sports. I'm Chris Mitchell here for Zach Berman and James Stanley. It is 5 o'clock somewhere, AKA here. I think the Pulse is next. We're just going to keep that trend going of maybe the Pulse being next. So without further ado or don't, we also have a soccer game going on later tonight. Kyle Jones, Joey Miller, all in on that. First big KCOU sports broadcast of the year. Don't miss it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. See you guys next week. Good night.